The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I was literally three stories up on a wooden ladder with a bucket full of cement repointing the side of a house. It was sketchy.
I suppose back in the 40s, though, we didn't really have health and safety. Yeah,
well, it was either that or it was up a chimney.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Auto Alex Podcast, episode 44. We are rattling through them. We are being very, very consistent, aren't we?
And it's amazing because they're actually all filmed in 1 week, pretty much.
A couple of week period. Stuff's going on at the moment.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, baby Brenda's very close.
I know, she is very close. She is head down and engaged. She's ready to rock.
Is she about to pull the ejecto-seat open?
She is, yeah. And Rhianne the other night was like, oh, I think this might be it. And then we just both fell asleep.
Brilliant.
It wasn't it. It wasn't it. But yeah, it's all fun and games being in no man's land.
Mm.
I just feel like screaming all the time. It's quite good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, maybe I'll just let one out randomly in the podcast.
Okay.
Just a random scream. Because before that, as is customary on the Auto Alex Podcast, hello to Josh Walker writing this email in a deck chair on the side of the A46 because his supposedly reliable Seat Ibiza 1.6 TDI has broken down again.
It can't have been that reliable if you're carrying a deck chair around with you.
Oh, well, maybe he's a deck chair...
Salesman.
He's in middle management. He's been going to deck chair meetings all around the country, and he just happens to have one there.
No.
Do you know what car I've got a deck chair and a boot off, genuinely?
Go on.
My R53 Mini.
Have you? Mm. Oh, okay. Well, just in case you break down?
Yeah.
When you break down?
For when I break down, yeah.
Fantastic. We also have Zoe Dodsworth spotting shit cars with terrible mods at a car meet in Beaconsfield Services last night. Dennis Wilson getting a tattoo in Australia. Max Booth working his second job delivering pizzas. New dad Phil Redpath listening on his way into work as a maintenance technician at the Nissan Sunderland plant. Tommy in New Zealand. And
Roy's mum, Jackie.
You right, mum?
You right, mum? Any applicants?
Still no applicants.
Still no applicants.
No.
Rory is looking for a new dad. Well, not a new dad, like a new partner for your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping Taylor would be it, but apparently...
Parking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. No.
So do a lot of people, actually.
What?
Everyone always goes, oh, Taylor's my biggest crush or whatever, and then we have to remind them.
No, not my cup of tea, sorry.
Why is that?
I'm not interested in front garage doors.
What are you interested in?
I only like garage doors at the back of the house.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
I think they ruin the aesthetic of the front of the houses.
So you like a rear aesthetic?
I like, yes.
So exactly. Do you like a rear garage door with a big parking bollard out the front then?
Yeah, just to stop any unwanted.
Okay.
Like a really big throbbing bollard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any particular colour?
I like them the yellow so they're visible.
Okay.
So you don't reverse into them.
Yeah.
Okay.
For anyone wondering what's going on here, we're talking about penises.
What?
A penis.
No, we're not.
A penis and a bum. Aren't we, Taylor?
Yummy. Oh. I've got in my bum.
Oh, wow. Great. I don't know about you guys, but I need to bend over now.
Rory's nearly flown off his chair.
Yeah, he has. Are you all right, Rory? Why are you laughing?
I don't even know if we can get away with that.
We can. Why? He's not said anything.
Okay, all right.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got in my bummy. What could it be?
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got beer in my bum.
Why would you have beer in your bum?
Because I like beer 52.
Which is very, very funny. What a fantastic segue. Because before we discuss what we've been up to, I think it's only right that we crack open a beer and give this week's sponsor, as you said, Beer 52, a shout out for being awesome.
How awesome, Alex?
Fantastic, fantastic, you should ask, Taylor. The answer is awesome enough to offer everyone listening to this podcast, not eight, Taylor, but how many?
10.
10! 10 free beers. 10. All you need to do is go to beer52.com/autoalex, and then you just need to cover £5.95 postage. And those 10 beers will be sent straight to your door. This month, Beer 52 are celebrating Asia's incredible beers from Vietnam to China, Japan to Taiwan. And I have got this rather fetching IPA here from a brewer called Ugly Half Beer.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait. Sorry, everyone. Oh! That is genuinely really, really smooth. Very, very smooth.
I'm a bit jealous. I think I might have to crack mine open.
Yeah. What have you got there, Taylor?
I have got a porter from Japan's Vitier?
Vitier Brewery. Yeah, it's from Tokyo.
Yeah, this is an almost porter.
Ooh. Yeah.
That is actually really nice.
Really?
As I say, I'm not normally a porter person, but that is lovely.
Very
and
good.
I do really enjoy being able to try loads of different types of beers.
And as ever, if you don't like dark beers, you can just choose the light case. And don't forget about the tasty snacks and the award-winning Ferment magazine that comes with every order. And even if after all of that, you're still not satisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time. So all you need to do is head to beer52.com/autoalex to claim your free case of 10 insanely great beers now. That is beer52.com/autoalex. Thank you very much, Beer 52. Right, everybody, what have we been up to?
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
My 6 series is still not done.
Oh.
And I'm still having problems with it. So I've been quite upset about it, quite totes a mosh.
Yeah.
So I bought another one.
Another what?
6 series.
What, 6, 3, 5 series?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
But aren't they like 30 grand?
No.
Are they not?
No, well, they are, yeah. Oh. They're a lot of money.
I'm guessing you didn't spend 30 grand.
No. I got offered one at a reasonable price.
Okay.
That came as a package deal with another car.
Oh, yeah.
So
what was the other car?
An E36 328i convertible that's done 80,000 miles.
Wow.
Only has one owner.
So they're worth quite a bit as well.
Sorry,
beer burp.
So that E36 328i convertible...
What,
80,000 miles? It's got to be, five, six grand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to reveal the purchase price of both vehicles.
But then a 635 CSI, that's got to be, 15 to 20, if it's ropey.
Yeah.
Mm. So you...
Did you pay less than 15 grand?
I'm not going to reveal that, just in case I want to sell these vehicles.
Did you spend less than £20,000?
What if I want to sell these cars? Do you want to buy it?
Yeah, all right. How much?
You won't buy a 635 CSI.
I'll swap you a car.
Oh.
For what?
635 CSI.
I don't want an Audi S6.
Why not?
You don't want Joey Essex. Are you still trying to flog that?
Well, you know what? I thought back to the deal where Taylor flogged it to me and he missold it me.
I didn't missold it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got beef?
Missold details.
Have you been missold
so
PPI?
I think it's fair. Well, let's do another swap.
Why would you want the 6 Series? You've got an E28.
You won't swap cars right now on the podcast.
No.
What about an E36 328 for an S6?
For a Joey S6.
That would be a lot easier for you to sell.
Convertible, Rory. No. You could get your head.
Rory, it'd be a lot easier for you to sell. Oh, he's thinking about it now, isn't he? Oh, no. Cogs are turning.
I don't know.
No. This is why your mum can't get a new dad, because they know that you would be their son.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's Chris Hill.
It's not Rianne.
Oh, it's not Rianne. Hold on one sec. This is Chris. Chris. You're live on a podcast.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
All right. Aww. What's going on?
Oh, well, I've just finished packing the van to move in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to come tomorrow morning now, not today.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just letting you know in case you need me.
Okay.
For some reason.
No, that's all good.
So backstory behind this. Podcast. Chris is moving into the merch unit.
Yeah.
And he needs to take all of his stock from his garage
yes.
at the moment
yes.
and then move it into the new merch unit.
Yes.
Into our lovely storage stuff provided
Taylor
by Big Doug.
Taylor wants to say hello.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Taylor. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You failed to tell me earlier on, Chris, that it's your birthday today.
Oh, it is!
It's Chris's birthday!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Chris!
Yay! We're drinking beers for you, Chris.
Headphone users, I apologise.
I'm coming to the unit right now.
You should. We have actually got loads of Beer 52 beers on the table in front of us.
Oh, I'm very jealous now.
All right.
Well, happy birthday to me.
Yay!
I'm very old, so if anyone on the podcast listening has any like spare organs, like kidneys and heart and stuff, I'll have one of them, please.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
We'll do a deal. What's that rustling going on? Rory's cracked open the snacks.
Rory, you've not long had lunch.
No. All right, Chris. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Have fun, everyone.
Bye, Chris. Bye. Happy birthday.
Bye.
Oh, bless him.
Bless him.
He looks good for 49.
Yeah, doesn't he just?
Yeah.
You look terrible for 30.
No, no. It's because I spend most of my time with you.
Really? Mm. Oh, is that where the grey
hairs
go?
You're my most stressful friend.
Dreadful.
Stressful.
Stressful. Well, no, it can't be because there's a t-shirt that relates to you being stressful.
Is there?
Yeah. We got t-shirts. Anyway, we'll reveal those at some point. What have you been up to?
I bought 6 Series.
Yeah.
What else have I been up to? Mm-hmm. Collected my Mini from the body shop.
Which, if you're watching on YouTube, is actually behind us on our Equipment 4 Garage's quick lift, which mm-hmm. is very exciting.
Really exciting. Mm-hmm. So I picked it up from the body shop. It's been fully resprayed in British Racing Green Metallic.
Yeah.
And we started reassembling it. So I fitted the grill, which needs to come back off because I've just bought a new one.
Yeah.
I fitted the bonnet, some of the trims. We've taken all the interior out because we've got new interior. We've got loads of stuff going on this car,
yeah,
which is really,
more
really
stuff
exciting.
From Moss, right?
Yeah, a lot of stuff from Moss. I've bought some stuff online on eBay and, yeah, some really, really cool stuff, actually. I'm really excited to get that car on the road. Hopefully, I can drive it this weekend, which will be very exciting.
Oh, sorry, the Beer 52 snacks have now
you
come out.
Snacks are
literally
just
very
had
good.
Do you want some?
I'm all
come on, try it.
I've just they are lunch. So good. Okay, that's not how you eat them.
I'm going to stick with my beer.
Go on, girl. Oh, yeah. Mm. You've done that before.
Good Lord.
So what else is new?
Also, I have been invited to Mark McCann's show.
Oh, yeah.
And they've entered me into the soapbox race. I've always wanted to do a soapbox race. I'm probably
going to crash. Wait, are you building a soapbox?
No, they're building one for me.
Okay.
But I'm going to drive it downhill. I've never done it before. I've always wanted to. So
that's going to be interesting. I think you'll be at an advantage.
Oh, the weight.
Because of the weight.
He's got a lot of weight dragging
down
the hill. Yeah.
So what happens if you break your arm or leg or something doing this?
Well, then I go to hospital.
Okay.
And where is it? It's at Mallory Park.
Mallory Park, yeah.
Well, then you won't be able to get to hospital.
Oh, the queues.
Yeah, there'll be too many queues. Yeah. Just be careful, all right?
All right.
And when is that?
It's the 26th of August,
okay.
I think.
So I was supposed to be going, but Brenda will definitely be with us, so I can't.
Yeah, so I'm quite excited about
that. I could take Brenda with me.
You could send her down the hill in a soapbox.
Yeah, I've got an ISOFIX seat now, so I could just chuck her in there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Isn't it?
That'd be a good laugh. But yeah, done that. Mini, obviously, what else? Oh, been working on Luke's Mitsubishi GTO.
Oh, yeah.
On the V2
Hello,
channel,
Luke.
Which has been very, very interesting. We've had some hurdles, let's say. We've had to go out and get some spare bits to get it to work. And
yeah, well, like an engine.
Like wheel spacers, because Luke ordered the wheels that he thought were correct, but didn't actually fit.
Oh, shit.
So we had to get some spacers right at the last minute, and we've had to get an alternator for it. Had to do the cam belt twice.
What?
Because we did the cam belt on it
It's so good, you've got to do it twice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did the cam belt on it the first time, but the tensioner that it has is really weird, and it actually came loose while it was running, and it jumped.
Oh, shit.
But luckily, didn't damage the engine.
Bloody hell.
So
that's very lucky.
Yeah. So we had to redo it, but it was a pain in the ass. So spent ages doing that. And yeah, we put some really, really cool bits on it, which everyone will be seeing soon on the V2 channel.
Fantastic.
It might actually be out by the time that this podcast goes out. No?
Potentially.
But yeah, keep an eye out on the V2 channel because we're doing loads of stuff on there at the moment.
Yep.
What else have I been up to? Oh.
Go on. No, he's holding back.
No. Tell us. You've got to tell us now.
I've got Lewis's Rolls Royce.
Oh yeah. Lewis Freeman from Bigfoot Transport.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Lewis put in an absolute shift.
Oh, shall I mention the France trip?
I think we should need to mention that France trip.
All right, so on the weekend, I got a DM from a girl called Charlotte. And Charlotte happens to be, I'm pretty sure it's Charlotte. Charlotte happens to be the first ever subscriber to Autolix. Like the first ever subscriber.
That's mad.
Yeah, which is mad, yeah. And she messaged me saying, wonder if you can help. Me and my husband are south of Paris, like 100 miles south of Paris, in his Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the car has shat itself. We don't know what to do. We just want to get the car back to the ferry. We've had quotes of like 3,000 euros just to do that, just to get it back to the ferry. Also, can we put a broken car on the ferry? Can you help? So I messaged back and said, you can't have a broken car on the ferry. They won't allow that. And then I said, but let me make a little phone call. So I phoned up Lewis Freeman from Bigfoot Transport. And I said, look, this is the situation. What's your cost? And he was like, well, I can do it tonight, or I can start the journey tonight. I'll do it for literally half price what those people were offering. And he wasn't trying to undercut. That was literally his rate.
Yeah.
Plus ferries as well. He's obviously got to pay for ferries as well. So yeah, that night, 3 a.m., he was on the first crossing over and he went and collected that car. And he used his Range Rover to tow back a 3.5-ton towing capacity, which is fantastic. And yeah, Charlotte is over the moon.
Brilliant.
So yeah, well done to Lewis for doing that. You pulled in a massive, massive shift. Yeah.
Fair play, Lewis. Yeah,
we
well
do
done.
Like him. But you've got his roller.
Yes. So Lewis has been suffering from some health issues recently and hasn't been able to fix his Rolls Royce. It's got a running issue. It doesn't run at the moment. So he brought it over to mine at the weekend and I'm going to get it running for him.
Oh, that's
and
shit.
And hopefully he can drive it. And it'd be cool to see that on the road with the Mini as well.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I've known him, he's always had a Rolls Royce. And ever since I've known him,
He's never driven it.
It's always been broken, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, it'd be cool to finally fix that and get it on the road and zhuzhed up. So yeah, just recently, just trying to help all my mates fix all their old cars.
Fantastic.
They've been set off the road for ages, like Luke's GTO and everything. So
And you did a deal on my behalf, didn't you?
Yes, I did do a deal on my behalf. Obviously, it's not fully carried out yet because it hasn't been collected.
Uh-huh.
But I've agreed a deal on an E46 touring trailer.
Oh, God.
Which is very exciting because we can all nick it.
Yeah.
Because we've all got E46 tourings.
What?
Me and you could nick it.
Yeah. Why can't he nick it?
Because it'll be mine.
He needs to be able to create a tow bar situation.
No, but I have many cars with tow bars on.
Oh, no, yeah, but you can only tow an E46 trailer.
With an E46 touring.
Well, then you'll have to put a tow bar on yours.
Oh, yeah. But I could get a bolt on one. We need to come up with a system on yours to get it working.
I'm thinking ratchet straps.
I think you should get a tow bar 3D printed.
Yeah.
And then fit it.
Out of wax.
Out of wax.
That would be good, isn't it? I just won't drive it in the sun.
Otherwise, it'll melt.
In it. Yeah.
That would be good. Speaking of tow bars, did you see Whistling Diesel's latest thing?
Yes.
On the Cybertruck.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was initially, when I watched that, I was like, oh, to be fair, though, Teslas are never meant to tow that much, blah, blah, blah.
But
I didn't realise the Cybertruck is like rated to £10,000.
Yeah.
So that is...
It should do better.
It's better. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't... Like,
well, let me rephrase. It should do.
Yeah.
It
like that wasn't a massive, like, it was a bit of a tug, but that is nothing that a normal car would, what?
Hmm?
Anyway, you should be backing this up. Elon Musk is the savior of the world and he is the best man in the world.
So what happened is this is like unofficial news, Whistling Diesel actually took a hacksaw to it before.
No, really?
Yeah, he spent 7 days
and
7 nights.
It's amazing how he managed to make those fracture marks look so real as
well. Yeah, he's just got so much money. He spent all of his YouTube money just trying to make it look like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, me and Elon, we were FaceTiming.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, nah, look, we can tell. We can tell. We've run the numbers and we've done the R&D and the CAD. And it just doesn't check out.
No.
But it's really bad.
It's really bad, yeah.
It's bad.
It's a very good video, wasn't it? Very entertaining.
Yeah, it didn't... to be fair, like when you actually looked at its off-road capabilities, it was actually quite... Like it did beat the F-150 in most...
Oh yeah, massively,
In most things, really.
I mean, the drive shaft, the prop shaft broke on the F-150 as soon as it went off the trailer.
It was literally just the durability. I will say the closing the door, that's not great.
Oh, that's really bad.
That's not great.
Yeah. And you slam it and then the whole thing just shatters.
And one of the doors, he slammed it, but it wasn't like a... Like I would say a kid could slam it at that level in anger.
Yeah.
Like you know, if you had your kid in the back and was like, no, and then slammed the door.
Are we thinking like an angry little Rory?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you were an angry little shit kid, weren't you?
What?
Yeah, I bet you were.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Temper tantrum little
bitch. You're the little steroid kid. You're like...
Am I?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You were the one that was like, no, let me go cut up a wheelbarrow with an angle grinder.
Oh, yeah, no, I did do that. Yeah, I was doing steroids at 10.
Yeah, I knew it.
You knew it, yeah.
I absolutely knew.
That's why I look so buff now.
Right.
All right.
Do you guys actually think of the Cybertruck?
Gimmicky.
Yeah, gimmicky is a very, very good word. I think in real life, in real world... tests and just general usage, no one's gonna buy it for that. I think everyone who's bought a Cybertruck is just using it as a kind of, you know, like the Defender Chelsea tractor. I don't think any people in the trade are actually using it for what it should be designed for.
Plus we still have to get to the point where I know it somehow has passed the US pedestrian. I don't think the US does have many pedestrian safety things. That car would not pass EU standards.
Well, that's why you can't get them over here, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And have you seen what it's doing to cyclists and motorcyclists?
No.
You literally cannot see a motorcycle in front of you. There's a really great motorbike channel called Fort Nine, and I think he borrowed one or something, and he ran the numbers. And when you're in a Cybertruck, you cannot see someone on a motorbike in front of you at the lights.
That is ridiculous.
And imagine if you do launch control at the lights because you think you're clear, you will literally just kill someone instantly. Mm. It's so dumb, but it's just gimmicky, and they are bending the rules and Elon Musk, the visionary, is he's just waiting for everyone else to catch up, because people just need to catch up with Elon, man.
Right.
There is stuff that's obviously proof of concept stuff in there, though. It's like the first car to have steer by wire. Yeah.
Well, it's not the first car, first truck maybe.
I don't think it's the first car.
Steer by wire?
I've not heard of steer by wire.
I think it's the first vehicle.
No.
I think it's the first production vehicle with steer by wire.
I think like Infinities and stuff have got steer by wire.
No, I think I'm pretty sure it's the first production vehicle. All right.
You look it up.
It's the first production vehicle with an unexpected removable tow bar.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good.
And it's the first ever production vehicle where you can't wash it.
That's true.
Because otherwise it changes colour.
Yeah. Have you seen someone's actually polished one?
Yeah, that looks
and it
quite
looks
cool.
Like a mirror.
I'll give you that.
Oh, you were right.
Yeah.
First was the Infiniti Q50.
Oh, hello.
Look at you go.
Look at me go, girl.
I will say, I don't think it was a proper production car, though.
No, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
The Q50?
Yeah. Yeah, Q50 is a production car.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you know how I know it's steer-by-wire? Because I was on the launch of that car. Yeah.
What was that?
Back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
When I was courting my third wife. Anyway, are you out? Any more updates, Taylor? You can say no.
That's it. I think that's it, yeah.
All right. As for me, waiting for Brenda. It's just, no man's land, like I said. And something very eventful happened 2 days ago. 2 days ago. Not in your lives, in my life. It's been hectic. I woke up, I was woken by my mother at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. And she said, "Hello, Alexander!" She's German, but you know, I'm over-egging it.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was the night before, my mum fell in her house and she thought that she dislocated her shoulder. So I had to take her to hospital. And day before yesterday, or was it yesterday? No, it was yesterday. I was in Ealing Hospital with mum. Excuse me. Oh, one of those nuts has just gone back up in my throat. Not Taylor's nut.
I hate it when your nut packs up. You just want it to go back down.
Anyway, Mum, we had to get Mum x-rayed. Jesus Christ. And Mum's broken her shoulder.
Shit.
Which is really, really bad news. It's also terrible timing because...
I was going to say, your life is very hectic right
It's
now.
Quite hectic, especially with two stressful Belen friends like you as well. But yeah, Mum's broken her shoulder, which is really annoying because at Christmas time on Christmas Day last year, Mum fell down some stairs and broke her wrist. So yeah, we're kind of in panic stations again. So
Has she broken it bad?
So it's a humerus... break, and not funny, not humor, like humerus as a bone in your arm. So that's broken. It's not broken in multiple places, which is good. So yeah, we're just waiting for a phone call from the orthopedic surgeon to see what they need to do.
Will she have a cast?
No, you can't cast those things. It will either be
so just to strap it up.
It'll either be in a sling for like 5-6 weeks and wait for it to heal, or it'll have to be surgery.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just shit.
That's frustrating.
It's just really shit. So yeah, I feel really bad for Mum.
Bless her.
And yeah, I just know that I won't be able to be around that much because obviously I'll be in the middle of childbirth and all that stuff. Not me.
What, you?
Rianne, I don't think it's that painful.
Oh, okay.
What?
Okay.
What's
okay. No. That's too far.
That is too far.
That is the most. Honestly, you are going to get so much abuse.
I know. What from? Oh, actually, no, it's 40% women that listen to this.
Yeah, we were. So actually, yeah, this is. So we looked at our podcast stats.
Yeah.
And we were shocked. Bearing in mind, all right, you look at our, I think our YouTube audience is 98% male.
Yeah.
2% female. And then our.
What about
Instagrams
user,
and
user
stuff like
unspecified.
That?
You're forgetting the user unspecified.
There's also
a percentage is there
it,
as well. Okay. Yeah.
You know that statistic of 98% male?
Yeah.
I think that's slightly wrong because a lot of females with their fellas watch it together.
Identify as male.
Maybe that explains the podcast, because the podcast, so you guys listening right now, apparently it's 70% male, but 30% female.
No, it's six. Wasn't it 60-40?
No, 70-30.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's mainly because of me.
Why?
Because women love me.
Why is that?
They just love me.
What are you trying to say?
They just love me, find me very attractive.
It's because he's big and cuddly.
He is big and cuddly, yeah. Yeah.
And I've got a very soothing voice.
Do you? Mm. All right, fellas, how's it going? My name's Taylor, I'll give you 1,500 quid.
Jesus Christ. Rory's gone again.
No, Rory looked away because he didn't know who was talking. He was testing himself. Right, Rory?
Who was that?
Which one was that? Which Taylor was it? Maybe that could be a new segment. Which Taylor am I?
Oh, I'm confused now. It's like I'm seeing double.
Yeah. Right.
It's because you both look the same.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. I'm not that fat.
Fair. Rory, what about you? I'm out. Oh no, shit, shut up. Shut your mouth. Barney update.
Oh shit.
Barney, my E46 M3 Touring is painted, fully finished. You've seen Barney in the flesh trailer.
It looks very good.
I have not, so I'm very excited. And tomorrow you are collecting Barney and bringing him here.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing him here?
I don't know. Why am I bringing him here?
What? Did he say how?
No, why? Doesn't it
well,
need
where
to go
else
back?
Is he going to bring
well,
him?
It needs to go back to Reedish, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's not Taylor's issue.
No.
That's a me problem.
You just want to see it.
You just want to see it. Otherwise, you just get it straight there.
Mm. Well, no, because we need Taylor here tomorrow.
And
Taylor was already late enough
just
today.
Just admit that you want to see Barney now.
No, I couldn't care less.
and plus, as well,
yeah,
you need to get Barney here for a bit so you can just look at him. And then send it off. For
Yeah.
You've got to just look at him.
And then you can drive him to Bristol for me.
Yeah,
on my
I'll
behalf.
Drive him, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes up for you being late.
Are you going to put new
wheels on? Oh, we could put new wheels on tomorrow. Do we have tyres on those wheels?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We've got Accelera 651 thanks to Tyre Streets UK.
If you want to get 10% off, use the code AUTALICS. Oh, that was smooth, wasn't it?
That was.
That was really smooth. Rory, what's been going on in your world?
So took the Spitfire home.
Yeah.
It's
breakdown.
It was massively overheating on the way back.
Oh,
fantastic.
Couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
Cause I was like going, we've got a new radiator on here, new coolant hoses, new coolant. It was being bled properly. I just couldn't figure it out. I'm driving home. I was on the phone to Taylor and I was like, Taylor,
what? Sorry, what?
Huh?
You were driving home, you were on the phone to Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, he just had it to his ear.
Yeah, I just... I was actually pulled over on the...
You were broken down.
I was pulled over in the services because I was panicking. I was like,
oh, shit.
Because it was literally hovering just below the hot mark.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? I do not get it because I pulled over and the fan wasn't even on. Oh. And I was like, but the fan's on a separate temperature relay. So I was wondering whether that relay was just turned down. But then even then I was like, the fan shouldn't make any difference when I'm on the, because I was going motorway speeds back.
Mm.
And I was like, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Anyway, I followed the temperature sensor wire from the coolant temp sensor in the thermostat. Mm. And then I followed it and then it suddenly disappeared and went underneath the cam cover and then came back out the other side of the cam cover.
Is that not the same wire that was in the video that was?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
there is a shot of you laughing, the camera comes round, looks at it, and you're like, ha ha ha, that wire shouldn't be there.
Yep. So at some point it's got taken off again.
Yeah.
And then put back down again. And then
with
the wire still clamped down on it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really impressive even for us.
Yeah. So I ended up, thinking that it was overheating. Turns out it wasn't. It was just that the wire was inside the engine.
Yes.
And then I got back and that's when just the heavens decided to open up. I sent you the video of this. Oh my God. It just started tipping it downward, right? Bearing in mind, I haven't even finished the roof on it.
Oh.
So I was there, like me and Ellie were just trying to desperately put up this sort of flimsy roof that isn't even stuck down properly, putting it up. And I wound the windows up and I was just looking at the car from my conservatory, just looking at it, just absolutely water pouring down inside. I could see it running down the inside of the windows. And I was like, oh, God,
why
have I done this?
You should put the awning up on your Defender and park your Triumph underneath it.
So I bought a cover. Annoyingly, the cover had arrived the day after this huge downpour.
Oh, no.
But it's now undercover. Mm. So
what kind of cover is it? Is it a good cover? Or have you spent like £10?
I spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah. How much is a lot of money for you for a cover?
I think 100. I spent 120.
Okay, that's a good amount for a cover. Yeah.
I don't know whether I would say it's a good cover.
Oh, really?
There's no lining to it. It's literally just like thin plastic. Like it's a very lightweight cover.
Okay.
But I would have thought that there would have been like a lining on the inside.
Where did you get it from?
eBay.
Okay.
Mm.
Lots of good reviews, positive reviews?
eBay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go on Amazon or something? Why didn't you ask someone?
eBay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is definitely not sponsored by eBay, is it?
No. Well,
are you saying the cover's a bit shit for £120? But does it keep the water out?
It's kept the water out. Okay. That's the main thing.
There you go. That's the main thing.
It's waterproof. And to be fair, my paint's already scratched up.
Yes.
So it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you going to do about it when you get it painted?
I'm going to have to build a garage.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit, you're just gonna have to. You're gonna build it.
I'm gonna build it.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. Oh God, it's not gonna go well.
Do you know what? I'd actually quite like to see that.
Same.
Well, maybe you have to come down and help.
I would like to see you doing some bricklaying.
I was thinking, how hard could it be?
Oh,
do you know where my Defender's?
Sorry to all the trades.
You know where my Defender's parked?
Yeah.
To build, you know, like Taylor's little mini garage that guy had?
Oh, the little
one. Yeah.
How hard would it be to just build something like that? But it's a perfect size for the Spitfire to go into.
Mm.
Well, no, why don't we just build you a little lean-to or something? It'd be dead easy.
All right, well, let's do that.
It'd literally be dead easy. We just need to put four posts into concrete. We can just dig out the holes and then put concrete in there, mix it up, chuck the posts in, hunky-dory, and then just build around it.
Like a carport.
Yeah, and then you can get like a plastic Perspex roof on it. It'd be nice.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay. You won't do that.
I will.
Oh,
shit.
Yes.
Shit.
Jesus.
Rory, have you got any other updates?
I do have another update.
Is this the update that Taylor doesn't know about?
Update that Taylor does not know about.
Okay, so Rory has a very large update. Very.
Is Rory pregnant
big
as well?
Big throbbing update.
So, I have had quite a lot of emails from police officers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Have they finally caught up with you?
No, and pretty much all of them are saying the exact same thing, that they are very disappointed.
In you?
No, what our experience has been so far.
At?
Thames Valley Police.
Oh, okay. Reading.
At Reading,
specifically Reading.
So I've been emailed...
This is a really good story.
I've been, emailed in, and basically this guy's quite high up in the police force. He wants to be anonymous for obvious reasons.
Is he in prison?
Yeah. So he's put So as far as me and my colleagues are aware, if TVP, that's Thames Valley Police, have decided that the bike is in fact a 19 reg and it's had its VIN altered or defaced, it should be scrapped as a Cat A and crushed.
Mm-hmm.
If TVP have decided it's a 12 plate bike, which you're the registered keeper of, and they're unable to contact the previous owner, it's 10,000% should be restoring the bike to you and not auctioning it off.
Mm.
And even if they do select option one, there's absolutely no reason why they can refuse to give you your parts back. They are your property and yep. not property of the bike for yep. when it's stolen and had its identity changed. Listening to the podcast yesterday genuinely gave me the rage. It frustrates the shit out of me that idiots in this job don't realize that treating the victim, which you technically are,
mm-hmm.
like this puts people off trusting the police. And especially at this time, we need public support.
Yes.
I genuinely suggest to you to make a formal complaint about this, as it's absolutely not on.
So as a reminder, this is a police officer, fairly high ranking police officer,
yep.
who's emailed in about your stolen motorbike story. And he's saying, what the F are they doing? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So I've had this from quite a lot of people that those are really the only two options that they should have gone down.
Yeah.
It never should have been auctioned off on the 12 plate. Because
whoever came up with that at Reading Police Station, you're dumb. Like, that is so dumb. Yeah, yeah.
They're basically saying that, yeah, it's the 12 plate bike.
Yeah.
So
mm.
because they're saying that, and because I contacted the auction and told them this, they're then left with no other option.
So they, as a reminder, you contacted the auction house that was trying to sell it.
Yeah.
You said, do you know that this is stolen?
Yeah.
Do you know that this is actually mine? They didn't know. They contacted the police.
Yeah.
And then the police had to come and collect the bike again, which means that the police now have a bike with stolen parts. Your parts
yep.
are your parts, and they have literally just stolen those.
So, cut to today.
Today, yes.
While Taylor was out doing some little bits on his Mini.
Yeah.
Mm.
I had a phone call.
Mm.
And it was from the PCSO that has been dealing with my case. And she's finally had the legal department contact her. And she said, she's not allowed to tell me what the legal department have said. But in no uncertain term, in 10 working days, I will have my bike back.
Yeah!
No way! Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, basically, they can't get a hold of the owner. They have gone through all the processes that they possibly can. They've obviously messed up somewhere down the line, which I think they can finally see that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've got to fill in a few forms. I think there's like, it's probably the same thing that you went through with the 6 series, where I've got to fill in a form basically that says like I am the temporary owner of the bike unless the original owner comes forward in a certain amount of time. And if he doesn't back within a certain amount of time, then yes, the bike is then classed as mine.
I think it's like 2 or 3 years, something like that.
Is that what it is?
I think so, off the top of my head.
So I have got to bring in a load of forms, a load of proof that we actually did pay for it, which well, obviously we've got all of that. In the next 10 days, I should be getting a phone call to say, come collect the bike.
Well, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So we should all go to Reading Police Station and collect it.
I don't think we're collecting it from there.
Are they bringing it?
No, we're going to have to collect it from... So it's either that it's still at the auction house depot.
Yeah.
Or it is at one of their compounds that they've got somewhere.
I think you should actually make a complaint and say, look, you collected it from our unit. You got to drop it back off. We're very busy.
Or I'm not going to push my luck.
No, because I've started recruiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
The mafia.
Yeah.
So, or you know what we should do?
Yeah.
If we do have to go and pick it up, we should go in TDC's Range Rover and put it in the boot.
Yeah, we should do that. That would be funny. From whence it came. And then we can go out and do loads of crime with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it won't have a stolen marker on it anymore.
We could steal handbags and phones.
Yeah, we'll do that, yeah.
So I'm getting my motorbike back.
Oh, are you excited?
And this time, it's going to be legit.
That is very exciting.
Oh, all of that rigmarole to get your stolen motorbike back. You should have just kept it.
I mean, yeah, this has literally been... A very, very shit way of getting it back, really.
Because what the police have done is actually a more shit version of you actually just keeping that bike.
Yeah.
Because they would have kept that money and done what with it? Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, they would have. They're still, as that police officer said, I am the victim in this.
Mm.
And for some reason, they were punishing me.
Yeah.
Which I felt like, to be honest, a lot of the time I was being treated as the actual suspect of it rather than, yeah. which is so dumb because the amount of proof though, like we literally filmed everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there wasn't any more we could have done to like, imagine if this was a general jury that had no evidence, like at least we had evidence of everything. Yes, exactly.
Just goes right. to show though, if you didn't chase it up, they would have just sold it.
They yeah. were. Yeah. yeah. I mean, yeah. The only reason that auction did not go through was because I emailed in.
Yeah. yeah.
Like otherwise someone would be riding around on my reg. I probably would have got a V62 request come through saying someone's tried to register the bike.
And then you say, no, that's my bike. Mm. And then you get it back. Someone could have paid for it and you get it back.
Mm.
You never know. Either way, you're getting the bike back.
Yep.
Are you now going to do your CBT?
Well, I've got to. I've got to do my CBT before my brother.
Okay.
There is no way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely going to get that done. And yeah, I'll have a bike again.
That's fantastic. That's very. And you live in Middle Earth? Where
I do. I live in literally motorbike. I cannot tell you the amount of motorbikes that fly past my house
really?
And the road near me. So I think it's a massive motorbike route because you could go through Malvern Hills and then go all the way around there. And there's a massive motorbike route that I would. There's, and the, oh.
Oh.
And then I didn't realize, literally around the corner from me, there's this little high street along the river.
Yeah.
Seven pubs all in a row.
Really?
Wow.
So what, you're going to go drink driving?
No. So you ride the bike there, you leave the bike there, you drink all the beers, and then you stumble home. No, you stumble home.
Yeah. Fantastic. On the bike?
No, on the river.
On the river. Speaking of bikes, my S1000, I'm getting it MOT tomorrow. And I'm going to start riding it.
That's exciting.
Start enjoying it because I've not been on that for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, when was the last time you rode a bike on the road?
When was the last time? Isle of Man TT. So, when was that?
About over a year ago.
No. I went to the Isle of Man recently.
That doesn't count.
Well, you asked me a question. I answered it.
When was the last time you rode a bike in the UK? Last Isle of Man TT.
What? The Isle of Man is the UK. Part of the United Kingdom.
In England.
In England. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I don't know. It's been a while.
It's probably the last Isle of Man.
No. I've done trips since then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you went to Bruges.
I went to Bruges.
Bruges must be one of the last times.
Potentially. Yeah. I can't remember. But very excited to be back on the bike. MOT tomorrow. So, it's going to be good. Because traffic at the moment, shit. It's so shit.
We're going to have to go for a little ride.
We are. Yeah. Oh.
And with Chris as well.
Yeah, try keep up.
I do still need to get my license.
No, you would kill yourself. No, you would evaporate yourself.
Right.
So we're blocking that. Anyway, good update. Everyone out now?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's now move on to an email that we've had from Ola Johannes. And he's asking for car advice. And the subject line is threshold for when to stop pouring money into repairs. Hi Alex, Rory and Taylor, listening to you guys from my living room while my 2-month-old daughter is sleeping in her moon bed, and in brackets, recommend this to Alex, he should check it out for his coming baby. Question: do any of you from experience have a threshold for when to draw a line on maintenance costs and start looking for a different car? My wife, in brackets, my wife has a 2014 Golf Plus 1.6 TDI. Last year, she racked up €4,000 in new timing belt, dampers and brakes all round. Yes, all expected somewhat down the line. This year, we got stranded on the autobahn from a faulty injector. Another broke while getting the broken one loose. Total cost, €2,000.
What?
I'm afraid clutch is the next big cost. This adds up to money that should get you a more reliable, boring and conservative daily driver, but it's been dead reliable up to this point. When should you draw the line? Or should we sit tight and hope that nothing bad happens in the coming years? All the best, Olli Johannes Haverninen Jettervoll from Denmark. Oh,
do you know mouthful. What? I'm going to say something here.
Big Pete.
I don't think any of us are qualified for this answer.
I am.
No, you're not.
I am.
You drew a line under Big Pete and it's now been reliable.
For how long? It's been two months.
It's been two months of heavy mileage.
Big Pete.
Yeah.
I fixed the fuel cap.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
James. See, I could have fixed the fuel cap, but that would have cost...
That Big Pete is... And how you've done thousands of miles
so
in that
Big
car.
Big Pete is nearly on 184,000 miles now.
I think that's actually 10,000 miles more than when we sold it.
Just under.
Yeah.
So you what? You've done 9,000 miles-ish?
Yeah, about that.
Okay. But what's the threshold for us, like timing-wise? So is it first 3 months? Is it first 6 months?
What do you mean timing wise? What, like?
Like when we can say, thank God we sold it because X has gone wrong in 3 months.
I would have said it's mileage. I would have said 10,000 miles.
Well, we're not at 10,000 miles, Rory. We're at 9,000 miles. All right.
If nothing goes wrong in 10,000 miles, I would say we made a mistake.
Okay. But then what happens if something goes catastrophically wrong at 11,000 miles?
Well, then that's just wear and tear.
Yeah. For me, Johannes, the answer for me is Big Pete, because I threw so much money at that and I was just done. And yes, Taylor, you've had quite a good ride so far, 9,000 miles down, but I'm just waiting for that day when you're like, fellas, I'm selling it. And then you sell it back to me for 1,500 quid.
Do you know what? I genuinely don't think I will. I really like Big Pete.
It's great. He is great when he works.
I really, really do like Big Pete. Even if something goes wrong with that car catastrophically, I will just sort it out.
So much so. You're going to be doing a little episode on it, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I want to give Big Pete a glow up.
Oh.
I want to zhuzh him. There's a few bits up I want to do to him.
Yeah.
I was thinking I'd quite like to put a light bar in Big Pete somewhere, but somewhere where you can't see it.
Yeah.
Do you know what the windscreen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I really like? You know, on Disco 3s and 4s, you can get those winches that you can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a little letterbox. I love one of those.
Yeah. Do you know who does all that stuff?
The Britpart?
Britpart does all that stuff.
Mm.
And also, do you think maybe some different wheels?
I was thinking that. Oh. So I used to, on mine, I had... I think they were Range Rover Sport wheels.
Mm. You are such a tart.
I just say it looked the bollocks.
Did it? Mm. What wheels are you thinking, Taylor?
I don't know. Maybe some aftermarket ones.
Oh,
well, like zhuzhy.
Urban.
I don't want to make it chavvy.
Okay. Are you saying urban is chavvy?
I'm saying it's easy to make them look like a Chelsea tractor.
Okay. Well, like urban.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it's in the name. It's a Chelsea tractor urban, obviously, yeah.
But no, going back to repair costs. Yeah. So with me, I get a car, something goes wrong, and I immediately just sell it and get rid of it because I don't like it, or I find that I dislike it or whatever.
Oh, Rory is just showing me the wheels.
I would say, like, I don't think that's going to be Taylor's taste.
Let's have a look.
No, I don't like that.
That looks shit.
Yeah, it does look quite shit.
Those wheels are too big.
This looks like it's parked in Birmingham somewhere.
Rory, you've got terrible taste.
He really does have terrible taste.
I really like this car.
Yeah, which is why you have terrible taste.
Do you know what you need to get, actually? The roof rack that was on this car. So
no. Don't do roof racks.
What?
You can't get them into multi-story car parks.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No. I can't be honest with it. I had a Discovery 2 once.
Yeah.
I went to go and get my hair cut. I drive into the car park and it's got that barrier to stop caravans going in.
Yeah.
Drove in really slowly. Boom! I saw the whole thing fly forward in front of me and I went, and I just reversed out and drove off.
Don't you have a story with a caravan?
I once crashed a caravan slightly into a car park and damaged it, yes.
What, the caravan?
I'm not going any further into it.
Was the caravan damaged or was
the caravan was damaged, yes.
Did the body fall off the chassis?
No, but I damaged it quite a lot. I also did it once in my AA van as well, but the AA don't know about that until now.
Shit.
Luckily, I didn't damage it too much, but there was a few funny noises and a lot of poo fell out. But yeah, cars, they go wrong and I just get rid of them because I dislike them or fall out of love with them or whatever. Or I just persevere and spend way too much money on them.
Yes.
Like this green thing behind us.
Like I did with Big Pete. And then I was just like, I am done now.
Yeah.
I am done.
Would you say you went too far with Colin?
Oh, my E36 M3 lemon.
I've got a thing about Colin. You say that Colin was a lemon.
Yeah.
I think you just bought a car that was just due maintenance. Because you say it was unreliable. The last straw for you was when the fan went. That is a maintenance item.
Yeah, yeah. But everything else.
Like what?
Literally
you know what it is?
All the suspension was complete toast.
Maintenance.
The whole underside needed redoing.
It
needed a full restoration.
That's poor purchasing.
It was a lemon.
So it was a lemon.
It wasn't a lemon. Yeah.
The engine also felt quite tired. Handling was off and it was just a bit of a dog. Paintwork wasn't great, blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
So, yeah. And it was also quite slow. Like that car's
probably
biggest problem.
Needed Vanos.
That car's biggest problem was the fact that I had turbocharged Phil at the time.
Mm.
And every time I got into Colin, I was just like, this is boring. Just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. So yeah. Going back to the golf.
Yes.
I believe that he spent so much money on it now, it would be a bit silly to back out of it. You've gone past the point of... Because the thing is, you could sell that car, go out and buy another one, and it could need the same work again. All right, he's just put those injectors in it. Those 1.6 diesels do suffer with injectors. They're quite common for it. But that's now been done.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, it may need a clutch. But then you could go out and buy another car that then needs a clutch.
Mm.
So it's literally a 50-50. But if it's a good car and you like it, just stick with it.
But it's not a good car. It keeps on breaking.
But again, sort of maintenance.
There's only so much that will break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's
I kept telling you with Big P.
Unless it's a Discovery, in which case stuff will just break just to piss you off.
10,000 miles.
He's not done 10,000 miles, though, has he?
Do you know what it is? It's because I look after my cars. That's really? Why it's not
no, all you like doing is just washing them, cleaning them, because you're a tart and you like
I
making
like
them
cleaning
look nice.
Cars, yeah. My yeah. rule is if I'm using a car, it gets cleaned at least once a week.
Okay. Is that why you're always late?
Yep. No.
Were you cleaning your car this morning?
No.
When you were 1.5 hours late?
No, I was... Honestly, I overslept because I didn't set my alarm because I was working on Luke's GTO until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm. Whose fault's that?
That was mine. Mm. And I apologise. I'm fully admit to that.
It's not like we had an argument last week about being late.
Mummy and Daddy are arguing again.
No, it's Daddy and Daddy.
No, that's not an argument. I admitted something that I've done wrong and I've apologised for it.
And what are you going to do in future?
I'm going to... try and amend my attendance.
Don't try, just do. Anyway, we're going to move it on now before Taylor and I start kissing passionately. Rory, last week we did a bit of a Q&A, didn't we?
We did.
And you've still got a lot of Q&A questions from people.
I do.
So do you want to go through them and then we can just blast through them?
Yep. All so right. I've got from Benji Edits.
Benji Edit, who's that?
That is our editor, Benji.
Oh, hello, editor Benji.
One of.
And he wrote... When is the written?
Is written.
Wrote? Written?
Is written.
Well, he wrote. No, that makes sense.
He wrote.
Yeah.
When is the next road trip and where is it? So we were just discussing this.
We were.
And as much as we love it, it's going to be the Nürburgring again.
Yay! Let's go to the Nürburgring.
Purely because we always said that when Alex gets his M3 touring...
I'm going to smash it up on the Nürburgring.
He's going to smash it up on the Nürburgring. Yeah. Especially because Misha now has a purple M3 new touring.
He
does. Over there.
Yeah.
So it just makes
race
so
me,
much sense to go over there.
Oh, shit. Why did I say that? Don't race me.
And my Mini.
And your Mini. Yeah. You need to go back.
Not my classic Mini.
And Phil.
My Min.
And
yeah.
Phil. Yeah.
So we're going to do... So the M3 touring bit will be part of a main video.
Yeah.
Where we're going to announce the car and do a lovely bit of driving in it. Sort of catch up on where it's gone, what it's been through.
Yeah.
Probably have a look underneath and go, wow.
There's so many holes.
Yeah.
Well, no, oh, no, shit, no.
No, no, no.
I'm just
anymore.
Used to saying that all
not
the time.
Anymore.
Not
no.
anymore, no.
And then we're going to do some smaller V2 episodes where we'll probably take the Mini and Phil around for redemption.
Redemption. Because last time I drove Phil, the diff was... slapping about loads, so I actually didn't enjoy that.
We didn't have the tires set up properly either. I think we had them way over pressure, which obviously
as a
tire gets warm.
Yeah, no, it was genuinely dangerous. And Misha, do you remember when I went with Misha? He was going to drive Phil, and then the track closed. Literally, a man walked across with red cones and said, "No, we're closed now." So Misha needs to have a go and Phil. I want to have another go and Phil. I want to drive Barney. And you, Taylor, you need to have a proper blast around that track.
In my Mini.
Yeah.
Because it blew up last time and we only had time to do one lap, which was Misha driving.
Yes.
With no clutch.
And I was terrified. Absolutely terrified.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that. We're very excited. We haven't been to the Nürburgring actually for quite a while. And in between, you know, we've done little road trips through the UK. Mm-hmm. We've been to Poland and back. So hopefully everyone can chill out a little bit and just allow us back to the place that we love most.
And I would probably say after that, it's going to be the classic cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I don't know where we're going yet, but I'd like to go somewhere stupid in them.
Mm. Yeah.
And I want to do, so I was thinking this. So we're going to probably start the trip off with starting in London, because classic cars, we can drive in London.
Yeah.
And then go all the way to Dover. And that part of the trip, I'd like to just shout out to you guys, basically.
Oh.
That anyone with classics can come join us on the trip. Mm. And join us for the London to Dover route.
That would be great.
Yeah. And then if you follow us all the way to wherever we go, then that's your call.
Yep. Yeah, we are going to book our hotels first, though, so it doesn't become really expensive.
Yeah, we're going to do Dover to Doha.
No.
No?
No, we're not.
I looked. It was like 3 hours.
Okay.
I think we should go to Mumbai.
Yeah? Mm. Well, no. we'll swing past Doha first and then go to Mumbai.
Or we should do the Mongol rally.
We'll do that too, on the way back.
To Mongolia.
Yeah.
Or we could go to Russia.
No, we don't go to Russia.
Did you know, fun thing,
right,
just a quick one. I was in London at the weekend.
Yeah.
And I found this.
Mm-hmm.
This.
Describe what you're seeing.
So this is a super yacht.
Oh, wow.
What? And it's parked
Where is that? London Docklands?
Yeah, it's parked up in London Docklands by Canary Wharf.
That is huge.
That's money.
That yacht was, I believe, £38 million or something.
Jeez.
No, that's more than that.
Sorry, was it £138 million?
It'll be, yeah.
Luke knows about it, but look at the picture I've got of it as well. Yeah. It's really, really cool. It was wham.
Oh, wow. That
it was massive.
That's big and sharp.
It belongs to a Russian guy.
Yeah.
And the UK government seized it when the whole Russia attacking Ukraine thing was going on. And it's still in seizure, and it has been for 2 years.
Oh, shit.
And it's just parked up in Canary Wharf.
Why don't they sell it and send the money to Ukraine?
Because they could probably sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah, and then send the money to Ukraine.
Yeah, but it's very, very cool.
Fantastic. That's good to see.
Next question is from Just Lee 3000.
Why'd you do it like that?
Because it's Just Lee 3000.
It looked like you had that electric thing to attach there again.
And his question we've already touched upon, which is, how is the M3 touring project going?
Oh, yeah. So, fully painted. What do I need? I need a bumper bracket for an M3 bumper. That's the only thing. We're missing one. And also the door rubbers I need for Barney as well.
How long was it ago that we basically ripped Barney apart and ripped the red M3 apart?
That was at your unit.
At
Belfort.
About a year and a half?
Year and a half, I reckon, yeah.
Gosh, so this has been built for a year and a half.
Yeah.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Cars do take a long time, don't they?
Mm. Next one is from Ross McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
When is Rory going to be able to spell?
Never.
Thanks, Ross.
Never. It's just not happening. He can't even talk properly.
Brilliant. Okay. Next one's from
Kyone
Jones.
Isn't it? I'm a bitch.
Would Alex ever sell Phil?
No.
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 Oh, come on. You would sell it.
Nope.
£1 million.
£1 million?
Yeah. This is, would you ever sell it?
No, genuinely £1 million isn't.
Oh, no way. No, I'm not having it.
No.
£2 million.
We can talk. No, look, unless it is something that would literally change not only my life, but also the life of my family, my friends.
Then, like £1 million then?
I make that in a week, Rory. I'm a YouTuber.
On your OnlyFans account?
On my OnlyGrounds account. No, I wouldn't. Genuinely, there is no life without Phil for me.
Okay.
Phil is just my forever car.
Well, maybe you should
drive. Understand that.
No,
maybe
I
you
get
should
it.
Shut your mouth.
Maybe you should drive into them.
You need to sell the Defender. That is shit.
I drove that yesterday.
Yeah? You need to sell it.
I'm going on a camping trip with it on Friday.
You need to sell it. You were talking about selling it the other day. I have never talked about selling Phil. So you say that car is your forever car. You're a liar.
Look, the only thing with my Defender is I would only sell it to get another one.
Okay.
Just because I kind of wish that I'd gone for the station wagon, the 5-door one.
You should have done that.
And I wish I'd gone for the TD5
engine.
So
you do want to sell it?
I would only sell it.
Jesus Christ.
To get another one.
Okay, fine. Next question.
How does Alex feel?
See what we mean about the reading thing.
How does Alex feel that he made an entire generation fall in love with MX-5s with Phil? So, I asked you this earlier, and you didn't think it was true, up until the point when we were like going, but how many people have you had come up to you go, oh yeah, I bought an MX-5 because of the MX-5 series?
So, genuinely, I would say either through DMs or people coming up to me, I'm not embellishing here, I probably think about 2,000 people have said that to me.
So, as
I say that, that's a lot of people.
And that's just the ones who have said it to
me. Yeah, that's a lot of people who have bought an MX-5 because they've seen Phil on YouTube.
I bought an MX-5 because of Project MX-5.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. But fair, no, you I appreciate think, it. Yeah.
What, so when we used to work at Carfrol, our office at one point had 9 MX-5s.
And
bear in mind, only 22 people worked there or something at the time.
Only 7 people worked there.
Yeah, I think it was literally nearly half the office had MX-5s.
Yeah. How does that make me feel? Amazing. Amazing. I still massively, massively rate MX-5s. They're great platforms to modify. They're great platforms to work on, to learn your driving craft. They're still relatively inexpensive, like Mark II upwards.
Well, they used to be before you started making them popular.
Yes. So I genuinely, I also get a lot of messages saying they used to be affordable. They're now not affordable. So yeah. I will take some responsibility. I'm sorry. But for the people that have MX-5s, I think we're all happy. And there is now a massive community of MX-5 lovers. And yeah, every time I go out to shows, I get dozens of people say, I bought an MX-5 because of you and because of Phil. So I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm super happy to be known for that.
I would quite like one day.
Yeah.
You've had a few.
I've bought and sold a few, but I've never had
built
one. Yeah. If I was to get one, I'd quite like a Lindsay.
Yeah, yeah. Mark 3.
Yeah.
Mark 3, 2-litre sport. Really, really good. That took me by such a massive, massive surprise.
I'd either have a Lindsay or a Mark 1.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like how quickly Mark 1s rust.
Yes.
They really do.
Well, not as bad as Mark 2s.
No, yeah, but yeah. I'm not really a massive fan of Mark 2s.
No. But yeah, if you are actually on the fence of getting an MX-5, get either a Mark 1 or get a Mark 3.
Mm.
Mark 3 I can recommend. They do obviously rust, but they won't have had as long to rust. Mm. So get them while they're still relatively inexpensive. You can pick them up for $3,000 or so.
What's a better driver's car?
Mark 3.
So between Phil...
Yeah.
And Lindsay.
Yeah.
Which would be quicker around a track, do you reckon?
Well, because Phil's got the V6.
Yeah.
Lindsay,
I would say, I think Lindsay had better handling than Phil.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
wider track, slightly longer as well. Definitely felt more planted.
So, around the Nürburgring.
Around the Nürburgring, I think...
Because you can keep up a lot of speed around the Nürburgring.
You can, yeah. It's all about momentum. But I think Phil's grunt would actually knock off quite a few seconds, especially uphill.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a lot of uphills, obviously.
Interesting.
Hmm.
We've got another question from Chubbs and Scrubs.
Is it you, Taylor?
Yeah, I've changed my username.
I'm guessing he's a larger doctor.
Oh.
Or nurse. Doing a 500-pound rear-wheel drive rally next year on the North Coast 500. What's the best option?
When you say rally, a classic car rally or like an off-road rally?
No, I think just a normal, like a rally as in like just a driving around it.
Okay, £500.
So basically just a £500 rear-wheel drive car.
So you do have Shitmox MX-5s. BMW, I think the only thing you can get for 500 quid would be a 3 Series Compact. Which
possibly
would be like a 316, 318, which would be quite boring.
You can actually get a Z3 for about that. Slightly tatty one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what unbelievably you can actually get? They have to be really shit, but a Jaguar XF.
An XF?
You can get an XF for 500 quid.
What?
Yeah.
It's XFs a brand new car.
For nothing.
It, 2008 sort of XF. You can actually get them for stupid money.
But would that be a diesel? Would that be like
Oh, yeah, they'd be diesel. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are they the Ingenium ones that blow
up? No, it's the 2.0. It's the same engine as
Peugeot
Big
engine.
Big Pete, 2.7.
Oh, that engine.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, yeah, for some reason, I do not get why XFs are as cheap as they are. That for me, value for money on cars, XFs are superior.
This is a big car, isn't it?
It's a big car. A lot of spec.
Mm-hmm. They're almost cheap enough. You can buy one, drive it until it blows up and pop it in the bin.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Like you can now get like an XF on an auction house. Well, you guys did recently, actually. You can get them for a grand.
A grand,
and
they
sometimes have like a small amount of issues you need to fix, blah, blah, blah. Get that sorted. And then you've got like a 2012 XF with, and the 2.2 engines are actually quite reliable as well. And I just don't get why more people aren't getting them. They're so cheap for what they are.
They are good.
So what else is there that's rear-wheel drive and 500 quid? Because I'm struggling.
If I was doing a rally on the NC500 or something like that, it would have to be a little two-seat convertible like an MX-5.
Mm. Yeah,
or something just cheap, half-decently reliable and convertible.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like chucking a roof down and just floating about.
I think your best bet will be a Mark II MX-5. It will be rusty. It will probably have 7 hours left on the MOT. But yeah, just look out for something like that. I don't think the answer is always Miata, right?
Or, for stuff like or that. A Z3. You can get a Z3s for a similar price.
Yeah.
I would suggest that an RX-8 would be quite fun, but it would cost a lot on the trip.
You also can't get RX-8s for that cheap anymore.
I think you can, and just about.
I think all the cheap ones have gone now.
How much did I pay for mine? Was it 800 quid from that lad?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like the cheapest of the cheap. So yeah, 500 quid.
I don't think you can get 500 quid RX-8. Yeah. You used to be able to, but they're actually become a bit more desirable now.
Yeah.
So our answer then, either a Z3 or an MX-5.
Chuck the roof down and have a laugh.
In it.
We've got a next question from Gregor Ems.
Mm-hmm.
There are all cars that we wish we haven't sold or bought.
Mm-hmm.
But which car do you regret not buying and why?
Oh, which car do you regret not buying? Oh, that's quite a tough
one. That is a tough one.
Oh, have I been offered? Have you got one, Rory?
Yeah, when I was like, I'd probably like 20, my mate that I knew from school at the time, he always had this, it was quite a nice green classic Mini. And he just basically just wanted it gone. And he offered it to me for 500 quid.
Oh, that is cheap.
And I didn't have 500 quid at the time, to be honest. And I didn't have enough money to have the second car insurance and all that stuff. And I regret that so much. Just A, because I really do like classic Minis, but B, like the values of them have just gone stupid money as well.
I think for me, I don't actually have an answer for that because I've been doing YouTube, Car Throttle, Auto Alex for getting on for 13 years. Every car that I've wanted, I have bought. And they have all been, mostly 99%, they have been cheap, shit boxes, but I've wanted them because I wanted to do a video.
But has there never been like, I don't know, like I know you, there was reasons why you didn't buy it, but like, you know, when you came across that M5 E39 and stuff like that, like
that was shit.
No, but has there never been stuff like that where you almost bought it and you were like, oh, shit, probably should have bought that?
No.
Never?
No, I think if I've wanted it, I have bought it.
God.
Because luckily for me...
That's what happens when you have money.
No. Luckily for me, the cars that I've wanted have all been like dirt cheap.
I'm quite the same in that. Yeah. I like cheaper cars. Yeah.
And for me, when I say dirt cheap, I mean like £2,000 and under. Historically.
Taylor, anything from...
There's one I can think of. One, and I do regret not buying it. And it was about when I was 20. So about the same age, about 19, 20.
That was a decade ago.
A decade.
Years.
And
that's 1/10 of 100 years.
It is, yeah.
1/10 of a century.
It is.
It's you a very are long time really ago. Old.
I haven't been doing YouTube 13 years, so you're fucking
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, there's one car. It was back when I was 19, 20 years old.
Yep.
I had the 6 Series and I was obsessed with old BMs. Absolutely obsessed, and as I still am now, they're like, as I said before, they're my favorite cars.
Yeah,
love them. I got offered from central London, side of a road, a dark blue 840 CI for 1400 quid.
No,
and I couldn't afford it at the time. And I got offered it with my mate, I was going to go ours with my mate Armit,
shit,
who's now actually just. Finished restoring his E9 3-litre CX.
I've been watching this. I really want to see this car.
Yeah, it is a very special car. He's put the engine from an M6 in it, so an M88 engine.
How long has he been building this for, though?
Building it for about 4 or 5 years.
Jeez.
He's painted it BMW Jerez Black, which is an E92 M3 colour. He's fully restored the shell, M engine. He spent...
Oh, beer's going down.
£4,000 on the exhaust.
Wow.
What?
Having a fully custom-made exhaust system. The manifold is a work of art. It comes out of the head, goes up, loops around and goes back down, and it goes under the... Oh. Honestly, him and his dad have built it together in his garage.
Wow.
On their own. On a quick lift.
Oh, really?
On a quick lift. They've built it themselves, and it is unbelievable.
Oh.
I haven't actually seen it myself in a little while.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see him soon. And I actually would like to do some content with it because it's a very special car.
That's cool.
But I went with Armit and we found this 8 Series on the side of the road in London. I think we left a note on it or we knocked. I can't remember. It's such a long time ago. And it was 1,400 quid and I couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford it. And I was like, shit.
Fair enough. I mean, you can afford what you can afford.
Mm. So, but yeah, obviously, you know the values of them now. Yeah. They're a lot of money.
That's E31, isn't it?
E31, 840
Ci. E31, 840 Ci is still a dream car of mine.
And I remember it's dark blue.
Oh.
It was lovely.
Oh.
I remember it being a little bit tatty, but it was for nothing.
No, I really, really, really want an 840 Ci.
They're great. Mm.
Shit.
So, next question.
Maybe you won't buy an 840 Ci.
No, I think I might.
If anyone's selling an 840 Ci that's listening, it's just
what? Can you what's happening? This is not happening. No.
Email in podcast@autoalexcars.com.
No, do not. It's closed. The email's closed.
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
Let's move on to the next question, which is from King Dings.
Oh.
Whatever happened to the G-Wagon Taylor was going to buy from Tom?
Tom still has it. I haven't bought it because I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
But Tom's still floating about in it.
So yeah, Tom already knows that, obviously, I think he knew after about a month that Taylor let him know that he wasn't going to be able to afford it. And Tom keeps saying that he's going to sell it, but then he also keeps telling me that he keeps floating around in it and then saying, oh, he's a bit of a laugh though, isn't it?
I think he quite likes
it. I think he really likes it.
He
finds it a bit stupid as well. He sometimes delivers cars on it with it where he just thinks it's so stupid that he's turning up in a G63 with a car trailer on the back of it.
Fair play to
that
him.
Screams money, doesn't
it?
Love it.
Next question is from James Devonport.
All right, Jim,
would you ever do a USA trip?
Oh, 100%.
I'd love to.
Oh, speaking of, the embassy actually messaged me and said,
I thought this was going somewhere else. What?
No, the embassy messaged me and said, look, we have an opening on, when was it, August, mid-August,
yeah,
for you to come in and do your whatever it is to get your visa.
Yeah.
So I wrote back saying, fantastic. However, I might be in a labour ward. Can I still keep my September visa application meeting and still do the August one? And I haven't heard anything back. So.
Okay, brilliant.
Yes, we will be doing US content and going to the US, but only if I can get a visa. So,
Do you know what I find funny? So I've seen quite a lot of people where there's been comments about this saying, oh, why can't Alex get into the US or blah, blah, blah on podcasts? And then there's been whole threads of people replying back going, oh, yeah, it's because he's got a criminal record. And then it's everyone trying to guess what his criminal record is for.
I got arrested.
I'm sorry. It's a lot more disappointing than that. He just went in because he went on the wrong visa.
The wrong visa.
And then just got turned around.
Yeah, which in America counts as an arrest, which is dumb.
So, do you actually have a criminal record?
No.
No, I don't. No, I'm a bad boy, yeah.
No, it's not a criminal record. He just got refused entry, basically.
And then they sent me home on the first plane back. And they took me back to the wrong country.
You idiot.
No, they're idiots. And the pilot took my passport.
Well, I would. Look at you. Dodgy.
Did you get a free meal on the flight, though?
Yeah, but it tasted like spit.
Still a free meal, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. This one is mainly probably for you, Alex.
Oh, shit.
BTCC_Volvo_S40. I wonder what car he's got.
F1 fan.
What's the best bike for a new rider with a full license?
Oh, okay. I can answer that quite easily. I would say you want something not too powerful. You want something with no more than 650 cc's. You want something with lots of plastic, so when you drop it, which you probably will, everything's easy to replace. And you want something reliable. So go for something like a Honda CBR 650R, if you like sports bikes.
A Fireblade.
No. Or a CB 650R, which is the more upright version.
What about all like the 390 bikes and stuff? Like with 390cc? Like there's loads of them with the...
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you'll get so bored so quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. What about a Ninja?
No, you kill yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with a Fireblade?
You will kill yourself.
Really?
It's 1,000 cc's.
Oh, are they? Yeah. I thought they did 600.
KTM Duke 690.
Yeah, I mean, something like that would probably do you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't think you'd want a sports, like, I think for your first bike, whatever it is, your first bike, if you've just done your full license, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's quite good to have like a bike that you're quite upright on and you're not lent over like a super sport bike.
Why?
Look,
a CBR 650, you're not lent over like you are on an S1000RR. You are still quite upright. It's a happy middle ground.
Yeah.
You can be on the motorway for hours on end and it's not going to break your wrists.
What about a GSXR?
A Gixxer?
A Gixxer, bro. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of similar ilk, but they are still quite a lot more powerful. Mm. Like my GSXR is 126 brake. Whereas the CBR 650R is, I think, 89 horsepower. It's still all right. It's good fun on like a track. And if you're going up from your CBT to that, it is the fastest thing in the world. But after 2 or 3 months, you'd be like, this just feels normal. And then you get on a litre bike and you're like, holy shit, this is amazing.
I think litre bikes are stupid.
They should be illegal. I think they are stupidly fun.
They are too quick.
Stupidly fun.
Yeah. I had a 30% experience on a litre bike.
Yes.
Where I blipped the throttle. Yeah, like 30, 40%. Fastest thing I've ever driven.
Yes. Yeah. So do you think F1 cars are stupid?
But they only go on track.
Yeah, they're on track. Yeah.
Well, you can take a litre bike on track as well.
Yeah.
Well, just because you've got a litre bike doesn't mean that you need to ride around at 1,000 miles an hour. You can get up to the national speed limit, 60, 70 miles an hour.
Extremely quickly.
Very quickly, and you can have loads of fun.
Doesn't mean
you have to do 130, yeah, 140 miles an hour.
As you have stated.
Yes.
And this is repeating you.
Hypothetically.
When you are on a bike like that.
Yeah.
Your sense of speed is skewed.
Yeah.
Where you think you're going this speed, but you actually look down, turns out you're going double that speed. And you say that you just don't feel it. So I think those bikes are too quick.
Yeah, but you just got to be sensible.
I don't think I've ever seen someone ride a 1000cc motorbike slowly.
Mm.
Ever.
Mm. Well, they got up to speed quickly. Do you remember when I was on that M1000RR?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I left you like the side of the road.
I've never seen a vehicle accelerate so quickly in my life.
It's good, isn't
ever.
It?
Yeah. I looked and you just went, oh, gone.
Yeah.
I usually, when I see a 1000cc motorbike, it was exactly what I saw on the way here today, which was outside lane, very fast, no rear number plate.
Yeah, no, that's a completely different breed of bellend.
Was folded up.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, how do you fold up your number plate?
I just take it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ulez is a scam. That's why I'm just doing it for Ulez. No, but obviously, you know, you get people in supercars who drive like Bellins and what?
I got Ulez fine.
Did you?
Yeah.
What in? Oh, the lights flickered.
In my Jag.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Was that going to his?
It was actually going to Moss.
Oh.
And to be fair, I was like sitting there going, oh, 90 quid. I can take that with the sort of payment that I got in parts that we got from Moss. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm still
taking it on the chin.
I'm still doing all right.
You are still doing all right.
I'll take it. But yeah, bloody you, Les.
Yeah, no, it is shit. It is so shit. Yeah.
It's just so apparently there is a way to get out of you, Les. I don't know if this is still true, but.
What, you chopped down the cameras?
No, but I do find those videos hilarious.
Take number plates off. Clone plates.
Because the ULEZ is not a nationwide thing, it's not a thing. Like, so if you're from the north, you wouldn't really know what ULEZ is. So there's the rule where if you go all the way down, put in a complaint and like get a ULEZ fine and basically take them to court, you can prove, well, how am I meant to know what ULEZ is? It's not something on your driving test. It's not something you sign up to. It's not something you know. So how are you meant to know that you have to pay a ULEZ fine?
Because there are thousands of signs.
The signs
are not. There's not.
Loads of ULEZ signs.
No, it's saying ULEZ charge applied. What does that mean? How do you know if ULEZ applies to you?
Yeah, but if it says charge applies, then you're like, holy shit, what does that mean?
No, but how do you know it applies to you?
Well, you've got to look it up. If it says ULEZ charge applies, then while you're driving, you need to be on your phone looking it up.
But
In all fairness, whenever you drive up to the Dartford Crossing, it says Dartford Crossing, pay online, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You drive up to ULEZ, it just says ULEZ zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't say pay online.
It is the biggest scam, the biggest pile of shit that's come out.
And unfortunately, it looks like they're trying to roll it out nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
And nationwide.
Labour are more keen with ULEZ, so they want to roll out ULEZ nationwide.
That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, but after that, we're going to have paper mile as well.
Yeah, that was the other thing that, yeah, they're talking about pay per mile as
What is pay per mile?
So you every pay your road tax on the mileage that you do.
So you do what, 30,000 miles? You probably do 30,000, 40,000 miles.
Who will do very well from this?
Mileage blockers.
Yes. Some mileage blockers.
Let's all buy mileage blockers.
I'm not being funny, but if that's the case, I'm unplugging my Speedo.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I'll deal with the ABS lights. I'll just unplug it.
To be fair, my E28 has never, the taco's never gone up in it since I've owned it. But that's just because the cogs are broken behind the dash.
Unless they're calculating your journey every single time through the cameras. I mean, they're not going to be doing it by your Speedo. They're going to be doing it through the cameras. That's why the cameras are there.
Why are they attacking the motorist? I just don't care.
Because it's just an easy way to get money.
Yeah, but it's so stupid. You attack this. So I could understand it. Everywhere else in Europe, they have cheap public transport. The UK, we do not have cheap public transport at all.
Mm.
It's like, what? It's cheaper to fly to Albania than it is to get a train up to Liverpool. Like, it's so stupid. You'd think if they wanted to decrease motorists and increase emissions, subsidise public transport, make it actually incentive enough that people want to get on public transport. But they don't do that. They just end up increasing the money on increasing the fines and all the shit that motorists have to go through.
I think the sales of angle grinders could really go up when paper mile comes in.
The Blade Runners?
Yeah.
No, they're too loud. You use a resip.
Oh, is that right?
I really do enjoy the TikTok videos where it's like, have you seen the words? Oh, look, this ULEZ camera's come up. I'm so happy. The air's so clean right now. How many days do you guys think until this one comes down then? And then the next video is like, oh, guys, the wind's blown it over again.
Yeah. And do you know the best thing that people are doing? Obviously, they're chopping down the cameras.
Yeah.
And then they are replacing cameras, like these normal people, with bat boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as there's a bat box on a pole, you're not allowed to touch it. By law, no one is allowed to touch it, so they can't put cameras up anymore.
That's a great idea.
God, London has so many bats suddenly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, maybe we should start a bat box company. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Anyway, we've got a couple more questions from the Q&A. What we got? Is there one car you would sell all of your cars for? Who was that from? Do we know?
I don't know.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Someone asked that.
Yeah.
Is there one car you would sell?
So I think I'd go with you two first. And
my answer is no.
Yeah. So you're telling me you got offered something ridiculous, a Ferrari 250 GTO.
And you would have to sell all of your cars just to have that.
You would have the ultimate classic Ferrari in the world.
But then you can't then sell it and just buy everything.
No, but you would then have the ultimate classic.
You'd have the ultimate, yeah.
No.
What is your ultimate car? Like, money, no object.
All right, let's rephrase
We've mentioned it.
Because your cars get crushed.
Why would they get crushed?
Because otherwise you could buy them back later on.
So is there one car that you would want to replace all of the cars that you have with?
You can still buy more cars after the 250 GTO.
So you got to sell the 540i, the 6 Series, Minge.
Well, I wouldn't want to sell them, but it would be a Singer. But I would create my own because you can spec to order.
So you would choose, and because the only way that we can make this fair is you crush all your cars. You can still buy more cars after this.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't do it. Mm. If my car's all, you know, burnt down or whatever, and I had to replace them with one car, it would be a Singer. Yeah. I wouldn't sell them. I would rather set myself a goal to, that's my end achievement, to buy that car and still have the rest of them than sell them all and then buy one. But I wouldn't do it.
Same. I wouldn't. There is no one car in the world that could replace even three cars for me. That would be Phil. That would be Barney. And that would be, Phil and Barney would do it, actually. Phil and Barney, for me, are like the perfect cars. And they have been built to my spec.
Mm.
At what you
So you're
your
saying
finger.
This yeah. as if, so your ultimate dream car.
Yeah. Would be a Singer, which is great for a B-Row Blast, but very compromised.
No, your ultimate dream car.
Yeah. I have.
You've mentioned two cars that is not your ultimate dream car.
Well, yeah, the 993.
Yeah.
I've not had it long enough. I've not done anything to it. It's still completely standard.
It's your dream driven car, it. But it's not part of your heart because you haven't done anything with it.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm. Okay, fine. There's three cars. But like for me, like having
If you could swap Nigel for a singer.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Okay.
It's still the similar sort of ethos, but it's...
If you could swap Barney for a singer.
Barney for a singer. No, but we're talking all cars here. No.
If you could swap Barney for a singer.
No, because I've already got a 993. I could build that 993 to be perfect for me.
No.
If money wasn't a thing, no. Because Barney for me is going to be as quick as a singer.
I know what it would be. Cool. You'd put a singer in here and he'd go, oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah. I think if it was staring right in front of you.
Well, if it was here and the keys were here and it was running and blipping the throttle.
And the rev counter went up to 11.
Oh, God.
No, actually, sorry, we're not even here. We're standing at Kerberos car park.
Oh, shit.
And then you get the choice.
But I've already driven an E46 M3 round.
Exactly. So wouldn't you want to drive a singer round it?
All right. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do a straight swap. Singer, hit me up. HMU. What about you, Rory? Would you sell all of your cars for that one perfect car?
To be fair, you don't really have a car like Phil or the 6 Series.
Mine would be the E28, but it's still...
That's scraping the barrel.
It's still a long... It's a long way off where it needs to be still. My plan is to basically sell that Audi and then pump all the money into that E28, because I want to make that E28 that car for me.
Like my 6 Series.
Yeah, I think once I get the paint done.
Not running?
Yeah. Well, which one?
Oh, okay. Which one? There you go.
Because I've got two now.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, at the current point in time, I would swap.
Okay. Interesting. Mm. All right. One more question from the Q&A and then we can call it. This is really interesting, actually. This is from Tom Woodward, and Tom writes, what jobs did you all have before Auto Alex? Especially your first jobs. Rory, what was your first job?
What was my first job? My first job... it may surprise you guys, because obviously I have a lot of people saying that I just have daddy's money. But I actually started working when I was 16 years old.
For daddy's company?
Yeah. I was full-time in an office doing IT tech support. So I got my IT tech qualifications really early on.
Really?
And I was 16 years old doing HMRC's tech support.
You little HMRC bitch.
I know. So I was actually full-time 16 all the way till 18.
Wow.
And then dropped out. Went to uni, dropped out after a year, then did Specsavers IT for... The thing is, it's very hard...
Oh, Chris is phoning.
Oh.
Sorry, everyone.
Are we wishing him happy birthday again? Right.
Hello, Chris. You're live on the podcast.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, boring. What do you want, Chris? You all right?
Yeah, I thought you would have been done by now, but you're still guessing on.
No, we're on the last question.
Oh, what's the last question?
What were our first jobs?
What was your first job? Cleaner and pubs, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, cleaned pubs.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you used to get out your car to press that button on Kew Bridge and stop the traffic and then you could get out?
Yes, I do remember that, yeah. Right. It was a terrible junction. Yeah.
I'm going to leave you to it.
So all right, I'll give you a call back shortly. All right, bye. He's just outed me there, isn't he?
So I went to uni after... when I was turned 18 with no A-levels.
Yeah.
I was quite happy with that. Yeah. I managed to skip the whole A-levels thing and just went straight to uni.
Yeah, how did you manage that?
I sucked his way to the top.
I applied to the worst university I possibly could.
And then daddy gave them £1 million.
It's very hard to then go to uni after working for 2 years, getting used to earning good money and then going to uni and then having nothing. I couldn't really cope with it. So I dropped out after a year. And then started working at Specsavers. And eventually, carried on doing IT for all the way till I was like 22, 23. And worked in an advertising agency, which I sort of got talking to a few people in the video department there. Eventually, they they said, well, you know what, why don't you give video a go? And they stuck me in the video department as a sort of a test sort of thing. And then after 3 months, got offered the full job there. Ooh. So went into video, was there for a year. And then my next role was in Carfrol.
There you go.
So I actually joined over to Carfrol and then was with you guys for 2 years.
Yeah.
Then may have slightly left under interesting terms.
Yeah.
When I stole one of their big clients and started working on them, mm-hmm. Red Bull.
Yeah, it gave you wings, didn't it?
Yeah, it did give me wings. So started working for Red Bull. And then, yeah, that's where me and you then came along. Isn't and it? Basically started that.
And it's been stress ever since?
Yeah, it's been fun, hasn't it, though?
And it has been fun. It has been fun. Like Chris said, my first job was during summer, during uni. I think I was probably 18 years old or so. I would start the day, go to the pub for 7:30, and then clean there for a couple of hours, and then come home, have some breakfast, and then I would go on a building site with an old man builder, and I would spend the whole, like, every day pretty much with him. I was literally 3 stories up on a wooden ladder with a bucket full of cement repointing the side of a house. It was sketchy.
I suppose back in the 40s, though, we didn't really have health and safety. Yeah,
well, it was either that or it was up a chimney.
Yeah. Well, we were having to rebuild all the houses, all the homes after the bombings.
London, the Great Fire of London.
Yeah. Oh, the Great Fire of London.
It's amazing you survived the Great Plague as well, actually.
I started it. It actually came from me.
The Battle of Hastings as well.
Yeah, was... 1066. I remember that very well.
Yeah, that was a good day for you, wasn't it?
I won that.
Did you?
Yeah. I was the first one out with a big knife.
No.
And I killed them all.
Some say
that
you were actually the executioner of Henry VIII's wives as well.
I was.
Yeah.
I was also the one shagging them.
Jeez. Wow. Christ. Okay. Oh,
some say I executed them with my penis.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Henry was not happy.
No.
Called him unhappy Henry. And then I started a company, Henry Hoover, just to piss him off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he sucked.
And that's when Alex then started Tesla.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Taylor? What was your first job?
No. All right. So we've already briefly, I think you've always gone into how you got into the automotive stuff and everything as well, haven't you? We have covered that a few times.
Okay. Worked at Domino's during uni and then made a beeline for the local newspaper that had a motoring section, did a bit of experience there and then did master's automotive journalism. Got a job at Autocar, got poached by Adnan to help him kind of kickstart Car Throttle.
All right. What was your favourite non-automotive job that you had?
Favourite non-automotive job? So Domino's was good fun because I worked with all my mates.
Yeah.
And we used to drive around in really flash cars.
And eat Domino's.
Did we eat Domino's? And I got flashed quite a few times.
Oh.
Yeah, at the front door, which was always fun.
Oh, people actually did that?
Oh, yeah. I got invited into people's homes quite a lot for sex.
Did you go in?
And how many times did you go in?
I didn't. I had a long-term girlfriend at the time. So I met up after work.
Oh, right. Sex.
No, my favourite job, I love like labouring. I love building, love working with my hands and stuff like that. So anything physical, I enjoy. Obviously not at the moment because of my hernia.
Mm.
You know, I can't do anything.
It's bad.
Not bad. It's just a little hernia that I need to get sorted. But yeah, labouring.
Okay.
If I wasn't doing what I was doing, I think I'd be in carpentry because I like wood. Speaking of, Taylor.
Right.
What was your first job?
Believe it or not, my first college course was carpentry and bricklaying.
Was it really?
No.
Oh, wow.
I was shit.
How were you?
Is that why you haven't built your own toilet block yet?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I went into carpentry and bricklaying.
But you are fantastic with wood.
Oh, yeah, I'm great with wood. Brilliant. Yeah. But I realised not long after that it wasn't for me. But I stuck with it for a year.
Okay.
I did a year's course. And then when I was 16... I did my first apprenticeship, or my only apprenticeship, which was at a garage called Brian Martin in Chesant.
Hello, Brian.
And they used to be a Peugeot Citroen specialist, but they weren't. They did everything. And I worked there for 8 years.
Wow.
And then...
How the hell did you stick something out for 8 years, let alone eight months?
Yeah, I worked there for 8 years, working on cars. I learned a lot. Learned how to do diagnostics and head gaskets and timing belts and clutches and everything.
Yeah.
And...
Oh,
my God. Didn't teach you manners, though, did they?
No, they did not.
That was the beer. And then I left there and I worked for 2 years at a place called Thunder Road Cars.
Yeah.
And that was where I've restored my 6 Series.
Oh, okay.
And I learned how to fabricate and do a bit of classic car restoration. Yeah. And helped build a few American classic racing cars and stuff like that. It was a really cool job.
Do you prefer classic car, like doing maintenance on classic cars over modern cars? Or
yes and no. So it's a 50-50. Sometimes I enjoy working on newer stuff. I really enjoy ECUs and diagnostics and standalone ECUs and stuff like that. But with classics, I do enjoy the whole basic nut and bolt-iness of it. And I like transforming them. You know, like when you get... look how different that looks from when we first picked it up.
Yeah.
And by the time that's got all the new bits on it, the end result will be amazing.
This is the Mark 1 Mini, by the way.
Yeah. So did that for 2 years. And then I left and went back to Brian Martin for 2 years.
Oh, nice.
So in total, I worked there for 10 years.
27 wow. 10 years.
And then I left there after 2 years and I just wanted to do something a bit different. So I worked for the AA.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be out on the road. I didn't want to be stuck in the same four walls all day. But I still wanted to do something, you know, mechanical, automotive related. I was going to get a job at a main dealer, like as a salesman.
Oh.
But it's quite hard to get into that if you haven't got experience.
Yeah.
Because I was aiming for like BMW and all that. Like, yeah. I'm not starting at the bottom.
No.
Can't be asked for
Ford.
But did that for 2 years at the AA.
And then got fired for gross misconduct.
I did enjoy the AA.
But you got fired.
But for gross misconduct. No, I left.
For gross misconduct.
No, I did actually leave. And I didn't get done for gross misconduct. I don't even know what that is.
It's what you do on a daily basis.
It's what you got your written warning about.
Oh, no, I was my timekeeping was very good at the AA.
We weren't talking about your timekeeping.
What's gross misconduct?
Just carry on.
But anyway, so I worked there for 2 years and I left because I didn't really enjoy the management side of it.
Yeah.
And my mum was quite ill at the time and they wouldn't let me have any time off to help her or take her to hospital appointments and stuff.
That's no good.
And I just left. I was like, I'm done with this. Yeah. I don't want, you know, them saying what I can and can't do when it comes to my mum. Like, I've got to care for her.
Yeah, 100%.
And I was like, I'm just going to do my own thing. And I had a unit at the time, luckily, while I was working for the AA. And I had two cars that I was selling. Mm. Two E46 Tourings, I think.
Mm.
And the day I left the AA, I sold my first car on my own, literally the same day. And then like a few days later, I sold the other one. I was like, I'm really enjoying this.
Mm.
And I stuck with it. And I think 2 years later or a year and a half later, I sold a car to you.
Yeah.
And then the day after I sold it to you, it broke down.
It did.
And then I went and picked it up.
Mm.
And then we got chatting. And then you introduced me to Rory after a bit.
Mm.
And then we did the video on a 6 Series.
Yeah.
And then it's just gone from there, really.
Yeah. I wish none of that ever happened.
Brilliant.
And on that note, I think we're going to call it. We've been chatting for a very, very long time.
This is a long podcast.
It is, yeah. I've got a mum with a broken shoulder to get home to. I've got a wife with a large child inside her now. So I'm going to have to love you and leave
you.
And
I need some more of these beers.
We do, yeah. Let's have some more beers, which reminds me. Thank you very much to Beer 52 for sponsoring this podcast. Get your box of 10 free beers. All you need to do is cover the postage cost, £5.95. Beer52.com/AutoAlex. From us, thank you very much for listening and watching. We will see you next time. Whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. Goodbye.
Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.